Welcome to The Gut Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly in life. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist, an all-round health geek and cake lover. And interesting fact about me is I think my favourite vitamin is vitamin C. I mean, it's just a really, really good vitamin. Seven of the Gut Goddess Show, and today what I'm going to be doing is sharing with you some preconception essentials. So what we're talking about today is how to really optimize your fertility, why preconception care is really important, even though it's not part of our cultural paradigm, and how it can make the biggest difference when it comes to your health, your menstrual cycle, and of course, your ability and to get pregnant and to have a healthy pregnancy. So I'm going to be sharing with you the kind of foundations, about four or five main foundations that I tend to do and implement with my clients and within myself, and just things to get you thinking. This show is not to make you feel bad about the stuff you didn't do with previous pregnancies or to make you feel guilty or overwhelmed. This is actually to educate you and empower and equip you with information that I don't feel like is that readily available. It's not something we talk about that much, and often women end up in situations that could have potentially been prevented or be way less stressful just with a little bit of preconception support and care, which we don't really get in our conventional approach to pregnancy and medicine. So I'm going to be sharing with you the holistic perspective of pregnancy, and if you are thinking at any point you really want to get pregnant, then these are really great things to consider. And if you're like, no, Kezia, I don't want to get pregnant, I've had all my babies, or I just don't want to have kids anymore at all, then these are great foundations just in terms of you creating a healthy life. So even if you're not wanting to get pregnant, don't feel like this information isn't for you. These are really just basic foundations for health, because when we're talking about fertility, optimum fertility happens when women are at their healthiest state. The body knows when there's an imbalance. If the body senses threat, if it senses an imbalance, it's not going to want to get pregnant. It's just, it knows to protect itself from that. So if you're just looking to optimize your health, then these five things are going to do you so much good. I promise. And before we dive in, I want to let you know something exciting. So my own baby, my little baby boy, will be joining us sometime soon-ish, maybe, if he feels like it. But before he does, I am going to be running one last Beat the Bloat 5-day challenge and workshop series. I ran one of these a couple of months ago and it was so much fun. I'm still getting emails and Instagram messages and things from people that did it and have found that the 5-day challenge has really been a catalyst for ongoing change in their lives. It's a really amazing way for me to become like your personal nutritionist for 5 days. It's completely free. I outline a clear action plan. I break everything that I talk about down into 5 simple steps. There's free workshops for you to attend. There's recipes, a meal plan, all sorts of good stuff. So this will be the last one that I run until sometime in 2019. Not sure when I'll be back to normal work, and I'm going to see how I feel. So this is your last chance to work with me for free to get that sort of plan of action that you need. So to join the challenge, then you can join, you can find the link in the show notes, or you can head to supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/bloat, or you'll be able to find the link in my Instagram as well on my profile. And if you don't follow me on Instagram, make sure you do, because that's where you can ask questions, where I ask for shout outs and topics for the podcast. So you can head over to Instagram at Supernaturally Healthy and follow me there. Also, if you've not left me a review yet, I would love to hear from you. Leaving a review is just a really nice way of saying thanks for all the time, energy and money that me and my tiny team of one other person put into running this podcast. And it's also really helpful for me being able to get different guests on and introduce the podcast to new audiences. Because the whole point of this podcast is that every week I provide something educational, inspirational and empowering so that you can see some phenomenal changes in your health and in your body, in your relationship with food. And I want more women to feel good in their bodies. I want more women to feel kick-ass. I want more women to feel healthy, to not be bloated, to have healthy hormones, to not be living in pain, to not be feeling guilty about every piece of cake or gin and tonic that they drink. That is my real mission, and this podcast is part of that. So do share this podcast with people. But if you can leave a review, then it's really just evidence or that social proof to other people that this is helpful. So, and I always make, I read every single one. So I listen to everything, and you'll get a shout out on the show, a shout out mention as well. So head over to iTunes, click on the ratings and review section, and then there's a button that says write a review, and you can leave it there. Otherwise, just trying to think if there's any other updates from me. We bought a buggy. That was quite a process of various research as a bit of a data geek, slightly overwhelming deciding what to pick. So we got a buggy, and I think that's going to be the one for us. It's a Phil and Ted's. I wanted an all-terrain one because I live near fields and cows. So I wanted one I could kind of, you know, tromps across a track or a trail, sort of. It's kind of a farm. And so, yes, we're getting organized. I am, you know, doing nesting things like sanding down worktops and oiling them, you know, standard procedures like that. And basically writing Joe, my other half, hence, or slash love of my life, lots of to-do lists to do with the house, like basically just getting him to do tons of DIY. So I assume that's a nesting thing. But anyway, those are my updates. As you can tell, my life is super exciting right now. There's just so much awesome stuff happening. I'm basically growing a baby and working on my business. And that's about it, really. And eating food. Yeah, that's my life right now. So let's get on with the show, shall we? So the importance of preconception care. I'm going to be sharing with you these five foundations that I feel like really make a difference and are really worth looking at if you want, if you're thinking at any point that you want to make a little tiny human, or if you have no interest in making humans and or you've already made them, then these are actually kind of really good foundations just for female health. Actually, if you're just looking to optimize and heal your body and you're a bit like, where the heck do I begin? Then actually ticking off and focusing on these different areas one thing at a time can make such a difference for you. So a couple of mindset and health warnings of this. If you're currently pregnant, or maybe you've had all your kids and you have not done any of what I'm talking about, it would be, you know, really easy for that little kind of inner mean girl, that inner bully inside of you, to tell you you're a terrible mother, that you've messed up your children royally by not doing these things, and to make you feel really guilty. That is not what this is about. I believe that this information is coming to you at the right time, and that our journey in life is all about just learning more, gaining more knowledge, and just making progress. You know, there's no need or reason to beat yourself up. It's a choice that you make. Feeling guilty is a choice, and I do not want you to make that choice. It doesn't serve or help anyone. It doesn't serve you now. It doesn't serve your kids. It doesn't serve your future kids. So just don't let that thought go in. Don't let that inner bully be like, oh my goodness, you totally messed up your children by not doing these things. Why don't you instead, you can choose to be really grateful that you've gotten this information at this time, and that we are constantly learning and we are constantly progressing. There's things I've learned last year that I wish I'd known 2 years ago, but I didn't. And that's okay. So no guilt, no beating yourself up, no feeling like the worst person in the world, because that gets you nowhere. And I will say, before doing all of these, I didn't do my, you know, I didn't do my preconception care perfectly. I was strategic about it. I was aware of it. I was intentional, but I didn't do anything perfectly. I've not eaten perfectly in this pregnancy. There's lots of things I've eaten that I know are not full of nutrients and don't help my baby, and I've still eaten them, and that is okay because we are constantly learning. We're doing our best. So, a little mindset health check for you. Don't spiral into the pit of doom and guilt. It serves nobody. And it is a choice that we have. So now that I've done that public health warning for you all, let's look at these kind of different foundations. And the reason that I want to share this was actually the last couple of weeks I've had loads of clients, either current clients or ex-clients, you know, clients that I've worked with in my 12-week program, you know, maybe a couple of months ago, get in touch and tell me that they're pregnant, which is so exciting. And often if that is an aim for a client, even if it's not the main aim, there'll be things we put in place to really help. And often a lot of the work that we do is really digging deep into sort of things that would be foundational for making a baby and helping them to get pregnant and really sort out some of these foundational things. So I thought it would be really worthwhile talking about this more. And it's actually something I'm really passionate about, because I think actually if we can all spread the message of preconception care, potentially we can actually reduce some of the heartache and stress and trauma that goes on in couples trying to conceive when they can't. Now, I'm not saying that if you do these five things and you'll instantly get pregnant. No, every single body is different. There's loads of issues. There's loads of different reasons for fertility issues and infertility. But I'm convinced, and it is my opinion, that if we had a thorough and robust preconception care plan, a lot less people would struggle with fertility issues and have to go through really intense, traumatic and draining fertility programs. I think these fertility things like IUI procedures and IVF, all of that is great and necessary, and it's so good that people can get pregnant through that. I'm a big fan of technology and innovations and, you know, medical interventions like that. But wouldn't it be awesome if maybe like even just 40% less of people had to go through IVF, because it's such a traumatic process. I don't know if you've ever known anyone to go through it. It's not easy on the body. It's not easy on relationships. It's not easy on the female involved. It's very invasive. It's very stressful. Administratively, it requires lots of time off. And I really think that if we had a better culture of preconception care, then actually we could see less women having to go through such a intensive and intervention potentially. It's not something there's data on. Again, this is my opinion, but it just makes sense of how the body works. So that's why I'm really passionate about this. And again, don't hear what I'm not saying. There's nothing wrong with going with these more intervention processes. But a lot of the time I see people not get pregnant and then they'll just automatically get referred onto these interventions without any mention, any talk, any chat about preconception care. And I just think that's a real shame, because the body is clever. The body's really wise. There's a real innate wisdom in the body. And the female body tends to want to make babies. Like, it's pretty primal drive. A healthy female body wants to get pregnant. That's the whole point of our period, is that every month your body on a primal level is like gearing up to getting pregnant, of being like, are we going to get pregnant? Are we going to get pregnant? Oh, okay, not this month. Next month. Are we going to get pregnant? Are we going to get pregnant? Like, on a really basic primal level, that's what your body is wanting. Doesn't matter whether, you know, you might have chosen to not have kids. That's totally fine. That's not what I'm talking about. But from a cellular level, from a hormonal level, your body is constantly preparing for the potential for potential pregnancy and creating a human. So that is the body's default position. And so when the body doesn't want to do that, when it's not happening, then we need to just really ask why. And I think asking why, when it comes to your health conditions and your body, is really, really important. And it's basically what I feel like my main job description is. So when I'm working with clients, is together, we just ask why. So that is why I'm so passionate about it, why I would love to see a change in our culture around this area of preconception care, why I would love you to chat to your friends about it, maybe share this podcast with anyone you know who's mentioned, yeah, we want to have babies at some point, you know, in the next couple of years. If you're raising daughters, you know, this is going to be something that I'll talk to my, actually not my daughters, my sons and daughters, because this equally applies to men. This isn't just for women. Preconception care is really important for men. They're providing half the DNA. So you want that sperm to be in tip-top condition. You really do. But today what I'm focusing on is primarily preconception care for women. And if there's a demand, if you want to know about preconception care for men, then let me know. Maybe I could get Joe back on and we can chat about what we did for him for preconception care. He might not want to talk about it, but it's important. Happy sperm makes happy babies, kind of. So, first thing, let's look at some of these foundations, preconception care. So a lot of all these different things we're talking about is really just about optimizing important bodily functions. So the first thing, and these are all things that I did and have done, again, not perfectly, but last year, so it's, we're currently in 2018. So in 2017, end of 2016, I was starting to think, there's a chance we could start trying for a baby in the next 2 to 3 years. I wasn't quite planning on getting pregnant literally quite so instantly as I did. I thought I might have a bit more time. So I started in my strategic brain. I am a very much a strategic thinker, started to plan this ahead. Okay, so if I want to have babies in the next 2 or 3 years, what am I going to do to support my body? And this was the kind of plan of preconception care that I put into place. And one of the first things was detoxification. So this is in terms of body and home and skincare. So number one, with my body, I had a good couple of periods of kind of more intensified detoxification processes. And I really started to implement things that I call the everyday detox. So in my Nourish membership and in my Flourish Academy, I talk about these everyday detox things. So I started to use an infrared sauna, which is a great way of detoxing on a cellular level. I started having Epsom salt baths because I love a bath. I seriously have about 3 or 4 baths a week, and having a hot bath with Epsom salts and bentonite clay is a great way for that. I made sure I was drinking enough water. I upped things like my turmeric intake and green leafy vegetables and raw beetroot, these kinds of things, all to help my body's own natural detoxification process. And the reason for this is healthy hormones is partly dependent on having healthy detoxification processes. So if your body is unable to get rid of hormones that are the body's kind of finished with, then they're just going to recirculate in your system and cause hormonal imbalances. And it's really common for women to have too much estrogen in the body, which can lead to all sorts of more serious health issues in the future, and maybe too little of progesterone and maybe too much testosterone. So it's really, really important that we just have really good detox systems. So I like to do this by just doing everyday detox things. So lemon water in the morning. I've recently been having some like celery juice because that's really low sugar and with some cucumber and lemon in it. Things like dry skin brushing. I filter the water in my house, so I'm not getting any toxins in that way. I'll have hot baths a couple of times a week. Before falling pregnant, I use my infrared sauna. I haven't used that whilst being pregnant because we don't want to be doing detoxification, any intense detoxing during pregnancy, which is why you want to do it all before. And then I did these everyday detox things, lots of vegetables, green smoothies, all that sort of good stuff. But I also did about 2 or 3 kind of 30-day detoxes, specifically to support my gut health. But when I'm working with things with clients, it's really around detoxing around maybe whatever health issues they have going on or any test results that we get back. For me, there was still some bacterial overgrowth. So I ran probably about two detoxes specifically, which are basically like cleansing 30-day programs, really targeting a specific issue. And for me, that was around bringing more balance and removing some of the dysbiosis that was still present in my small intestine, which is so important to get that balanced. Because that's where you primarily absorb most of your nutrients. So if your small intestine has a bacterial infection, it doesn't matter how healthy you're eating, you're going to really struggle to absorb those nutrients. And obviously when you're making a baby is going to suck on all of your nutrients, and you want to make sure you are really, really, you have a good storage system, a good bank of folate, B12, magnesium, and all these things in your body. and that you're able to thoroughly assimilate the nutrients that you're eating. So I did probably in a year, I did probably two or three of these kind of cleansing programs. I walked through with my clients and I just walked through my gut cleanse kind of template with everyone in my Nourish community recently to help them out. There's different ones you can do, but for a lot of people, it's really focusing on gut health, which we'll talk about why that's important. So that's what I did for my body, but I also really looked at my skin and my home. So as I mentioned, I started to filter my water better. Things like in the shower, in the bath, I would put Epsom salt and clay to help purify the water, and just for drinking water. Also making sure I transitioned to more natural cleaning products. So not using bleach, not using normal surface spray, not using your normal laundry powder filled with toxic chemicals that I'm actually sensitive to anyway, but really transitioning to more natural kind of cleaning products in the house. Also making sure, you know, when we moved into this new house, it was really important to me that it wasn't moldy, it wasn't an old house, there wasn't damp issues, all of those things you're breathing in. We moved a little bit out of the city to reduce some of the pollution, filling the house with lots of plants, because having houseplants is a great way of naturally detoxifying the air. All of these different things. And also with my skincare. So making sure I wasn't using shampoos with lots of chemicals in, all natural and organic shampoos. My soap, soap was all completely natural soap. Making sure my makeup was natural. All of these transitions. And I know you might be like, geez, okay, that's a large list. But I have to say, a lot of this stuff I'd already done. I'd already transitioned my makeup bag to natural makeup. I'd already transitioned my cleaning products to more natural cleaning products because often it's cheaper. So using things like bicarb and lemon and vinegar is just cheaper. So that I'd been doing that for years, to be honest, because when I started on my healing journey and health journey, I was absolutely skint. So I was all about natural and cheap. Same with shampoo. That's why I detoxed my hair, to save money on buying lots of shampoo. So you don't need to do this all at once, but, and if you're deciding, okay, do I start with cleaning products or skincare? I would start with your skincare because you absorb about 80% of what you put on your skin. And a lot of, women's makeup products, body butters, shampoos, sprays, deodorants are actually filled with endocrine disruptors, meaning chemicals that are going to disrupt your hormones. So you really want to ditch that stuff. I don't care. You might love your foamable shower gel, but it doesn't love you. It might smell nice, but it's synthetic. And the stuff that you put on your body goes into your bloodstream, and you don't want to be disrupting your hormones with that. I know you might love your super expensive foundation, but chances are it's got loads of crap in that you're maybe absorbing into your body over there. You might love that really expensive body butter you got given, but if you look at the ingredients, chances are you don't recognize any of the things that are in them, and all of that stuff is going into your body. So I have a bit of a policy. If I wouldn't eat it, then it wouldn't go in my body. If I have a skincare product that if I ate would make me severely sick, then I'm not putting it on my body. I'm just not. If there's a shampoo that if I took a bite out of it and swallowed, I was going to end up in hospital. No way. No way is that going on in my skin. So you can set up these, just make these transitions. And that's really important. And a lot of this stuff that I'm talking about is really foundations for making lifestyle shifts. And with this, just go one thing at a time. So for me, I began with my makeup bag. Every time I ran out of something, I just replaced it with a natural alternative. So when I ran out of my foundation, I found a natural one. When I ran out of mascara, I replaced it with a natural one. So just one step at a time. You don't have to like throw everything away. You know, when you run out of your washing up liquid, just replace it with a more natural one. Like one that's better for the planet, better for your hands, all that sort of good stuff. So that's number one. Number two, which we've already talked about, is you really want to optimize gut health. So when it comes to making humans, we're literally making them from scratch. So I know this is probably stating the obvious, but you have no baby and then you get a bunch of DNA and cells that fuse together, replicate, and over time create a human. And this process requires an incredible amount of resource and energy to do that. And the way one of the primary ways that we resource and energize our bodies is through the food and the nutrients that we eat. So if you are eating food but are not able to assimilate the magnesium, the B12, the protein, the amino acids, the lipids, all of the carbohydrates very well from the food that you're eating, then you're going to be entering into pregnancy potentially at a really depleted state. Also, we know that when it comes to digestive health and when it comes to the microbiome, which is that you have kind of different microbiomes in the body, have ones in your nose, you have kind of a vaginal microbiome, you have a large intestine, small intestine. So we're talking about kind of your intestinal microbiome. You pass on your microbiome. So think of it as like an ecosystem, a bacterial ecosystem. There's also viruses present. There's also yeasts and funguses present as well. So you pass on this ecosystem, this garden, kind of, I often will describe to clients as like an internal garden in your body. You hand your garden, you hand your ecosystem, your microbiome onto your child, 100%. The state of your microbiome impacts the state of your child's microbiome. You are handing on the baton, basically. So you really want to make sure it's as optimal as possible, because we know from research that children and babies that have healthy microbiomes more established are just at lower risk of so many health issues. They have a better chance of their learning, their brain development, less risk of things like heart disease, cancers, all that sort of stuff going on in the future. So we know, you know, when it comes to C-sections, vaginal births and breastfeeding, that, you know, breastfeeding is better because it's better for the baby. Vaginal birth is ideally better because it's better for the baby. And that's all to do with the microbiome and establishing the right microbiome and the right bacteria in your baby. When you can give your baby the best possible set of bacteria and viruses and yeast and fungus, then you are really setting them up for success. It is one of the best things that you can do for your baby in future. Again, you're not going to be perfect at it. I know that there's still some issues probably with my microbiome, but I've made a lot of improvements, and I'm going to be giving my little baby boy as best a microbiome as I can at this time. And it has been one of my key priorities, because having been so ill and having it affect my life so much, there is no way that I want to be handing on what I had to my baby. That if I can set them up for just a healthier childhood, then you better believe I'm 100% going to do that. And it, you know, it affects things like, you know, learning disabilities, autism, there's links there with atopic issues, you know, asthma, eczema, hay fever. You know, your kids getting eczema it's common, but it doesn't need to be normal. Your child having learning difficulties is common, but it doesn't mean it's normal. And actually, one of the best things you can do as your mom is not buy expensive buggies and expensive clothes, and is actually making sure you look after your gut health, so your ecosystem, so that when the time comes to pass it on to your baby through birth, through breast milk, through it being housed in you for 9 months, you're actually giving it the best setup, the best ecosystem, the best starter kit that it can possibly have. Now, if you're at the stage where you've had your kids and you know your gut health is messed up, don't worry, there's loads of things you can do to rejig that back, you know, don't worry about it. But what we're talking about here is preconception care. And so supporting your gut health is really important. So that's where things like doing gut cleanses that I mentioned before, if you have had ongoing IBS for long periods of time, it's really worth doing that before you get pregnant. It's not something I recommend during pregnancy at all. Making sure throughout pregnancy, you know, and before pregnancy, you're eating fermented foods, you're taking maybe some good probiotics, you are eating foods that really support and cultivate this kind of internal ecosystem, things like fiber and prebiotics and all of that's good stuff. So really, really important. That's foundation number two. Number three is preconception care. Is ideally, you want to check your nutrient levels and have good levels of nutrients. So in an ideal world, I would love it if everyone could run some basic lab tests to find out where their nutrients are at. And on a really basic level, It's really helpful to know what your folate levels are like in your body, where your B12's at, where your iron's at, and where your vitamin D is at. So if you can really get to grips with and get an idea of those levels, then that's a really great place to start. And in an ideal world, you'd know more and you'd do more in-depth testing. But those are things that you can test for relatively inexpensively, and just knowing where it's at. So things like folate especially. Often a lot of women we know when you get pregnant, in Scotland anyway, you'll get given some folic acid supplements that have some vitamin D and vitamin C in, which is amazing that those are provided. The only issue is first of all, folic acid is synthetic. It's a synthetic form. The body wants to make folate in the end. And a lot of people don't utilize folic acid. I don't generally recommend anyone to take folic acid because there can be genetic mutations. And yes, folate is really, really important. But if your body can't utilize it because you're supplementing it in the synthetic form, then it's not really that much use. So I really recommend making sure you supplement with folate, and your rubbish pregnancy vitamins like Pregnacare aren't going to have that formin. I'm really not a fan of Pregnacare. It's just cheap rubbish, in my opinion. It's just annoying because it's one of those things. Since being pregnant, they're like, it's like the only thing some people feel safe recommending, or that midwives recommend when they have absolutely no idea about, you know, they don't get training in terms of nutrients and vitamins and the best forms of them. So you really want to make sure you get a really good quality prenatal. So I'll put a link to a couple of prenatals that I tend to recommend that have either food-based or less synthetic forms of nutrients in that are more absorbable in the body. But the thing about folic acid and folate, so when we're talking about folic acid, what we're really talking about is folate here, is you want that before you conceive. So the reason that one of the many reasons that folate is so important is that it's a really important nutrient and cofactor for DNA replication. And on a really basic level, when you conceive, you are getting a sperm and an egg fused together, and then all of a sudden they are going through this intensive process of DNA replication, of cell replication, over and over and over again, from two cells kind of coming together, you're getting tons of replication as it then implants into the uterus lining. And this requires a large amount of folate. So most people will think, oh, well, I'll take folic acid once they've found out they're pregnant, which is maybe 6 to 8 weeks after that initial conception has happened. You want to make sure your folate levels in your body are kick-ass before you ever conceive. So you actually want to be taking things like your prenatals at least 3 months before conceiving, ideally 6 to 9 months before conceiving. And that's why I really love people to get tested. So when I tested my levels, I eat loads of folate-rich foods, which is basically green leafy vegetables. So I was expecting my folate levels to be really healthy. When I tested them, they were incredibly low. In fact, below optimum, and there was a real folate depletion. So I actually spent a lot of time supplementing, sorting out my gut in order to absorb it. I also got my genetics tested to see, you know, how that was impacting it as well. But you actually want to be supplementing with folate, yes, through pregnancy. So you do want to do that as well. But it's the most important is pre-conception. You want to be having good levels of folate before you conceive, because you're not going to find out that you're pregnant for a good couple of weeks and you've already had your body's already done loads of the groundwork and loads of this crazy DNA replication where you need that folate for it. So getting tested, figuring out where your nutrients are at is really, really helpful, really important. And ideally, you can invest a bit of money. You can do tests for like 60 or 70 quid that will show you the basics of like iron, vitamin D, folate, B12. Sometimes your GP will do those for you as well, which is great. But really making sure you've got good levels of that. And stay clear of supplements with folic acid in them. For most people, they're not going to do any damage, but for a small subset of the population, people like me with a genetic mutation called MTHFR, there is some thought, or in a school of thought, I'm not aware of any research on this, that actually it's actually problematic because the body just can't utilize this synthetic form of folate, and there's no reason why folate can't necessarily be taken by all people. So again, see show notes for prenatals that I've taken, because I've taken a few throughout pregnancy, because it's sometimes I like quite like mixing it up sometimes, and to get my alternatives to Pregnacare. Also, you just generally don't want to be getting supplements that you can buy at supermarkets, like, you know, Tesco's multivitamin or Sainsbury's multivitamin. If you can buy it at a supermarket, it tends to not be a good sign that it's good quality. Just putting it out there. So that's foundation number three. Number four is getting to know your period. So before you want to have a baby, now this one's pretty obvious, but it's really, really helpful. Before you even think about making a baby and getting it on, you want to ideally have be connected to your menstrual cycle and to your whole cycle. You want to know when you're ovulating, when you're not. You want to know how you feel. You want to know if your cycle's regular or if it's not. You want to know if there's any issues there, if there's any imbalances. If are you ovulating? All of those different things. So the best ways that you can do this is to track your periods. I use an app called MyFlow, I've actually missed my periods being pregnant because I was so in tune with them. I loved the cycle. Actually really miss my periods. Anyway, I'll maybe do another podcast on that, because everyone always looks at me like, you've got to be kidding, right? So MyFlow is an app. It's a great kind of more functional medicine based holistic app that really helps you to track your periods, help you roughly to know when you're ovulating, all of that sort of good stuff. Also taking your basal temperature, so your temperature first thing in the morning, will really help, because you'll often, your temperature will spike during ovulation. And so that's a really great way of A, helping you prevent get pregnant when you don't want to get pregnant. If you know you're ovulating, then you know not to have unprotected sex during that time. And when you do want to get pregnant, you can, there's more chance of you getting pregnant probably straight away, which is probably what happened to me. So getting to know your periods, really, really important. Is your cycle long? Is it short? So for me, about 2 years ago, my cycle was maybe like 20 days long. So it was short. And I knew that that meant my luteal phase was really quite condensed, and that could cause me problems in terms of carrying a baby to term. So that was, I began, but I didn't know that until I started tracking. I didn't know that at all. I just thought my periods, and I suddenly realized, wow, my periods come really regularly. They're really short. This means all my phases are shortened. My ovulatory phase, specifically my luteal phase, has been cut off. And that's the time when a potentially fertilized embryo would implant itself into my uterus lining and kind of make itself at home. And if that isn't a healthy phase, then that could potentially have a risk of miscarriage. And I've seen so many of my friends miscarry. It's so traumatic. It's so unpleasant. I really want to avoid that as much as I could. Again, we can't control it. It's not a blame thing. It's going to happen sometimes, and we don't always know why. But I'm a big advocate of, yeah, crap happens. There's mysteries in life. But the things that I can do something about, I'm going to do something about and leave the rest up to God. And surrender to it. I'm a blend of complete surrender and what can I do. So that was when I start to track my periods, get to know them, do all of these different things of detoxification, gut health, nutrient levels. They all affect your hormonal status, and allow my period to lengthen. So over a couple of over a period of time, 6 to 9 months, my periods got better. They got less sore. They got to about 25, 26 days of cycle, which I was a lot more happy with. They were super regular and on track. I kept my temperature, so I know roughly when I ovulated. So I learned that I was actually someone who ovulated slightly earlier in their cycle than other people. And it's just such useful information. Whether you want to get pregnant or whether you don't want to get pregnant, it's really, really helpful, because I'm a big advocate that knowing about your poo and your periods are some of the best signs of your overall health. So getting to know your period. Again, I use an app called MyFlow, which you can just get on your app store on your phone. It costs like, I don't know, £1 or something. And it's really, really helpful. I really recommend that to all my clients. And then the fifth thing is really about creating some default habits. So I really recommend, and especially kind of coming towards the end of my pregnancy, I'm so grateful actually that a lot of my default habits around food are just naturally and effortlessly healthy. Because in this pregnancy, I've been way sicker than I thought I would be and found it way more challenging than I thought it would be, just with certain pain issues and just nausea and sickness that basically lasted for like the entire pregnancy. And so actually there was no way that I had any energy, any resource to intentionally try and eat good, if that makes sense. I have been 100% relying on my default food choices. But thankfully, my default food choices are pretty awesome. So even in my worst, like I was still probably just eating bland porridge. I was still eating vegetables even when I'd feel my worst. I still fancied some eggs occasionally, not as much, but still fancied things like eggs. I was still actually getting nutrient dense foods. I wasn't just living off of like white bread rolls and ketchup and jam. I was actually knowing that my default things that I was craving actually had some decent nutrients in. Yeah, sure, I ate kettle chips and I went through, but other than crisps, actually, there was nothing crazy. Like my one week, I think I ate loads of Greek yogurt, organic Greek yogurt, which I would never normally do because I don't do well with dairy, but it really settled my stomach. You know, that was like the level of my weirdness, Greek yogurt and crisps, which, you know, it's not really that terrible. So really creating default healthy habits is a really great thing to do before you get pregnant, because hopefully when you get pregnant, you'll feel great. But for a good percentage of women, there's a period of time when they feel really, really sick. And actually, you are not going to have the energy, the intention, or the wherewithal, or whatever that word is, to be like, yes, I'm going to make sure I steam some broccoli and have some kale. You're just going to be like, I am kind of just surviving here. And for some of you, like me, that might go on pretty much your entire pregnancy. It has gotten better the last couple of months, which has been really helpful. But I've been so grateful that actually my default relationship with food is just healthy, nutrient-dense things. There's no drama around food choices. I've not felt guilty when I have eaten, you know, an entire Easter egg in the car on the way home to stop me from puking at the side of the road. Didn't feel guilty about that at all. It was really tasty. But generally, I wasn't doing that every day. There was always some vegetables. There was always some fruit. There was nutrient-dense food. There wasn't too much processed things going on. So I still felt, so I could rely on my default food choices. And becoming pregnant is not the time when you want to revamp your diet, basically. You want to be doing that beforehand. When you get pregnant, you've got lots of awesome stuff to be getting on with. And it's not the time that I recommend people make changes to their diet. It's not the time to discover food intolerances. It's not the time to do a detox program. It is not the time to do any of that. It's the time to really rest and replenish and look after yourself. It is not the time to make huge shifts and changes. You want to do that before. And the best place that I recommend everyone to start is with breakfast. And so if you want to know more about that, then make sure you join me in the Beat the Bloat Challenge. There's going to be a meal plan. We're going to be looking at your relationship with food as well as actually what to eat. So it's going to be really, really awesome sauce. So you can make sure you join the Beat the Bloat Challenge by heading to the link in my show notes or on my Instagram or wherever. So those are my five foundations. I know those, I could carry on talking about different things because there's loads of other things that make a difference. For a lot of women, they need to gain weight and eat more to get pregnant. A lot of women need to do less exercise. A lot of women need to go and get more in-depth help around their PCOS or endometriosis or whatever it is, see consultants and specialists. Some women really need to deal with trauma in terms of dealing with traumatic experiences because that affects their hormones and their stress levels. You know, there's loads of different things. But those are the kind of five basic foundations, not just for preconception, but just if you want to be a really healthy, kick-ass woman, then these things are really, really going to help. So we talked about detoxing your home, body, and skincare. We talked about optimizing your gut health and the microbiome that you're going to pass on to your child. We talked about checking your nutrient levels and making sure you have good levels of nutrients. And I kind of busted a few myths around the whole folic acid thing. and my dislike of pregnant care. We talked about getting to know your periods and tracking them really well so that you can have healthy hormones, and then about creating default healthy habits before you get pregnant. So those are five different things. I hope they've been really helpful. If you have any questions at all, then do feel free to direct message me on Instagram or on Facebook. And also to make sure you join me for the challenge. That's the best place, actually. If you have any questions about this, then join me in the Beat the Burp challenge. We're going to be talking about all this sort of good stuff. It's not a pregnancy-related challenge at all. It's for anyone. But all of the things we talk about all work together for you just having a healthy, happy body. So I hope that's been helpful. Let me know how I can help you and serve you in future. Otherwise, I will see you next week for another episode of the Gut Goddess Show. Lots of love.